Welcome, dear listeners, to this week's Afternoon Satsang. This is Prem and Arvind joining you in continuation of what we started last week. Because as we said, those of you who joined us in the live broadcast, one of the main features of this year's birthday celebrations was the Silver Jubilee celebrations of the Satya Institute of Higher Medical Sciences, what we fondly refer to as Swami's Super Speciality Hospital in Puttaparthi. And to commemorate that occasion, we started the episode last week talking about the Satya Institute of Higher Medical Sciences, how it was set up, the miraculous occurrences which was involved in the setup process itself. There's much more to come, actually. So we were going to continue with that. And as part of that, we even spoke about the principles on which Swami said that this hospital should be based on. So we will continue with that theme too. But before that, it's just a day after Swami's birthday. So it's definitely in place. And in fact, it is mandatory for us to start with something about the birthday celebrations that we just witnessed yesterday. But to talk about that and more, let me first invite Arvind to join all of us. Sairam, Arvind.
Sairam, Prem, and as you rightly said, it is definitely a mandate for us to speak about the birthday. One thing that struck me this birthday was, Prem, the crowds that were surging in Prashanthi Nilayam. Somebody messaged me asking, was it larger than last year's crowd? See, I don't have the exact specifics, nor do I have the numbers or the statistics. But what I just felt, this is what I responded to him also, that I don't know the numbers, but it is definitely much, much more than what I mentally expected. We have a mental picture. You know, I always feel that every fifth birthday, like the 65th, 70th, 75th, 80th, 85th, 90th, 95th, and then the 100th, those are the birthdays that will have the maximum crowds, and those are the birthdays when we'll see that in the accommodation blocks that we have, south and north and west, even in the corridor, there'll be people spreading their little mats or their little sheets and sitting and staying there. But the surprising thing was, this year's birthday also, I saw these things happening. I saw that the lawns were covered with people, you know, and wherever there was shade, there were people sitting. It was amazing. You know, in India, we have had this bold move against corruption and black money, wherein the 500 and 1000 rupee notes have been demonetized. And it definitely is a lot of inconvenience in the short term, because of which, you know, one of the sectors, one of the areas that will be most hit is tourism and travel. So, adding to the fact that this was a 91st birthday, I mean not a 5th birthday, not like a 90th or 95th, there was also this additional hindrance, if I can call it that way, to travel. In spite of all this, and it's because of all these that my mental image of the crowds that we would be seeing for the 91st birthday was somewhat tempered down, and I was not expecting such a huge thing. And yesterday it was really, really, you know, so touching and moving, and it was amazing for me because, you know, in spite of knowing deep within that Swami is God and the attraction that God has never ceases, still our mind and this human nature is such that it covers it, and it makes us get amazed. And I was really pleasantly shocked to see jam-packed roads. It was almost like a huge parking lot. Every space was taken up by different cars that were parked, and where the cars were not parked, there humans were parked. It was really amazing, and it reminded me of what Swami says. This is the Sahasra Shirisha Purusha. This is the Vishwarupa of our Lord Sai. It was beautiful to experience the Vishwarupa of Swami on his birthday.
Certainly, many, many times, Swami would say that, you know, I'm not so interested in celebrating the birthday, and, you know, which is true in many ways. But we have also seen Swami preparing for that birthday, you know, with so much of love and enthusiasm. And, you know, if you speak to the students who were in the 80s and, you know, 90s, Swami would personally have so much interest in the birthday celebrations. Swami would prepare the band boys. Swami would get new clothes for the band boys. Swami would have the boys doing the bhangra, get new clothes stitched for them. And some of them were narrating how during Swami's 60th birthday, the celebrations, as we know, was in the Hillview Stadium. and there had to be a procession from Swami's Mandir and to the stadium. So all of these boys were getting ready in the bhajan hall, right? So early in the morning, around 5:30 or 6, Swami had come to see the preparations. So they were saying that, you know, how excited it was that the stadium was filled with people waiting to see Swami, and the birthday boy was walking into the place where they were all getting ready, and they literally all went around Swami and literally, you know, holding Swami's hand and saying, "Swami, happy birthday," and they were saying that, you know, Swami was visibly so excited, and that's because Swami would often say, you know, that what gives you joy is what gives me joy. And Swami would say, "Me anandam in aharam," and Swami would really look so excited because, you know, that was the excitement which is always in the air, which is so characteristic of Swami's birthday. And that's what we saw. I mean, numbers-wise, was it more than last year? Was it less than last year? Was it more than a couple of years back? That is probably not for us to count and say. But you could feel that excitement, which was same as, you know, so characteristic of Swami's birthday. And you knew that festivities were in the air. And that was what kept us going.
You know, absolutely. Because it's a tradition, it's practice that every year, Swami's birthday, there is a treat in the canteen. There is a treat, a massive, beautiful lunch that is arranged, and everybody partakes of it. You know, it is prasadam, it is a birthday treat, and so naturally it is free. And during all these 5-year birthdays, that is the 85th or the 90th, we have 1 week of this free prasadam, and on the other birthdays, on the birthday, it is there. But you know what was amazing, Prem? If you walked out of Prashanthi Nilayam into Puttaparthi, almost every street in Puttaparthi had its own little free food distribution. People were distributing sweets, people were distributing rice prasadam, curd rice, buttermilk. Amazing, it was amazing, and each street had a different menu, you know, a slightly different menu. It was so beautiful. It was, as you said, that infectious enthusiasm, energy and excitement. Because everyone, it is not just Prashanthi Nilayam, whole of Puttaparthi, and actually we see in that sense, the whole of the country, the whole of the world that was celebrating here. And that's why this jam-packed nature was not just inside ashram. Even outside the ashram, in the streets, I can say this much with confidence that the last few days, anybody had landed up in Puttaparthi without even a cowrie pie in their pocket, I can promise that they would not have gone these 3-4 days hungry at least. Because there was food, Narayan Seva or Prasadam. It was not as if, you know, it was not as if like the poorest of the poor were going and having food there. Everybody was joining in. In fact, even I took a little of this food home as Prasadam, because everybody was partaking it as not as a thing to feed the poor, but celebrating the Lord's love. So that was the kind of celebration that extended even beyond the walls of Prashanthi Nilayam into the entire town and village of Puttaparthi.
Right, and coming from there, we'll have to continue with our satsang, because, you know, whatever Swami does, as we said, Swami doesn't need a birthday celebration. Swami doesn't need anything, in fact. But whatever it was done, you know, whatever was done by the avatar during the period of the avatar, the coming, the going, and whatever happens in between and beyond, is only for a certain purpose. It's only for the purpose of, as Swami would say, to take us closer to our divinity, to develop love for God in us. You know, because when we sit and discuss, is there anything that God can do only when He is in the form, which He cannot do when He is not in a form? I think it is this building this relationship with God.
That reminds me, Prem, the other day I was reading the story of Dr. Sundaresh. You know, Dr. Sundaresh, he is now the head of the orthopedic section in the super speciality hospital in Parthi. He is also the director at
the
Whitefield Hospital. And the unique privilege that Dr. Sundaresan shares, is that he operated on Swami in the year 2005, if I'm not wrong, or 6, when Swami had the hip replacement. 2003, correct, right. Yeah. When Swami had the hip replacement surgery, it was Dr. Sundaresh who was entrusted with this divine responsibility. And he says how before Swami was anesthetized, you know, as before that, in order to give confidence to the doctors and courage, because all said and done, you know, it's not easy when you're touching the divine body. You know, there are a million hearts, a billion hearts that are beating for that. So that kind of nervousness will be there even in the topmost surgeons. Swami actually gave vibhuti and calmed down. But once after the surgery was done, everything was over. On one occasion, when overwhelmed with gratitude for the opportunity that Swami had blessed him with, Dr. Sundaresan actually asked Swami. Swami, he asked two questions. The first question was, Swami, in 1963, when you had that paralytic stroke, with just a few drops of water, you healed yourself completely. Instead of doing that, why did you subject yourself to the knife? And Swami replied saying, Bangaru, that was the stroke of a devotee that I had taken over. That was for the sake of a devotee that I was doing. This is something that happened to this body. And what happens to this body, it has to go through that. So, you know, even in that answer, Swami showed that whatever the avatar does is just for the sake of the devotees. The avatar does nothing for the avatar's own sake. See, that is the answer that Swami gave Dr. Sundaresh. And the next question he asked was, Swami, if that is the case, then you have the world's best to come and do it, and it would be a privilege for them, it would be a pleasure for them, and nobody would ever refuse. Why did you select me? I mean, this humble instrument, everything that I have is because of you, and why did you have to select me? And then Swami said, Bangaru, I selected you because I wanted to develop the relationship that exists between you and me. That's all. That's as simple as that. And taking that answer as a guiding light, when we see, everything that Swami has entrusted to anybody has been for this sole purpose. Whether it's building of an hospital, whether it is treating his body, whether it is setting up the university, whether it is starting the Gram Seva, whether it is the different projects, or even whether it is Swami telling you to fetch two saris from the interview room. Every task that the avatar entrusts to the devotee has had and will have only one objective: to strengthen the relationship that exists between the Lord and the devotee.
And absolutely, and I think that therein lies the indication for all of us. You know, if we have been entrusted with the work, are we doing it well? The question is, are we feeling closer to Swami than yesterday? Are we feeling closer to Swami than day before? Then we are doing the work entrusted well, because the purpose of that work itself is only to move closer and closer to Swami. So I think that's a perfect indication for all of us. And, you know, that was the very purpose of anything that Swami set up. Swami set up the university to start with, so that students and teachers could come closer to Swami. And in the same way, Swami set up the, you know, the hospital. Of course, there is that underlying principle where Swami used to always say that education and medicine should always be given free of cost. You know, because these are universal needs, and there should not be your economic status should not be an impediment for you to get the best treatment. And the other important reason for this, as I see it, is if you talk to any doctor now, they say most of the diseases of today are diseases of modernization. Right? These are not diseases of the body. Why is it that you did not have this much of, you know, sugar complaints, say 40 years ago or 50 years ago? Why didn't we have so many heart ailments 40, 50 years ago? Because these are all diseases which have developed because of lifestyle, and lifestyle is because of modernization. And modernization is not because of the poor man. Most often, the villager is actually a victim of modernization. He has not been the beneficiary of modernization. So why should he pay or not be able to get treatment because of something that somebody else has done? So it becomes very important that something like medicine becomes universal. And that was what Swami kept saying, that medicine should be universal. And added to that, this idea of Swami setting up that to inspire people in the medical field to believe in this, that medicine should be given free, and to see their profession as a means of moving closer to Swami. And I think that's what we will see when we see the stories behind the walls of the hospital, be it the patients or be it the doctors.
Exactly. Because as we stated in the beginning of the satsang, it is not as if Swami started projects and then he was finding people suitable for these projects. That is absolutely not the case. It has always been Swami finding people and then finding suitable projects which can help these people grow closer to him. That is how I would like to put it, you know. It's not as if Swami started the university and then said, okay, now what kind of teachers will I need, what students will I need, what are the kind of people I have to attract. It's not like that. If we now look through the stories of the different teachers and students, we realize that these are people who had to come to Swami and Swami had to find an excuse. It reminds me of that analogy that is often given of Mother Yashoda calling Krishna. Krishna has done mischief, little Krishna has done mischief and he's running around and she needs to catch hold of him to discipline him. But if Krishna sees the stick in her hand, he's not going to come to her. Therefore, she would hide the stick behind and then offer him a handful of butter. Attracted to the butter, Krishna would come. That would be the opportunity that Mother Yashoda would seize and catch hold of Krishna and then discipline him with the stick. That is how the analogy is, story goes. And the analogy over here is that Swami too, has come to give those who are prepared the ultimate Atma Vidya. But then, if that is shown, that is like the stick, because, it calls for great sense control, great discipline, which is not a pleasant thing at least, though it is something very good, that is essential. So if that is told, imagine if Swami had told that here is an institute that will offer Atma Vidya. I don't know how many would have enrolled. And therefore, Swami would say, like that butter, to attract you, I hold out these degrees, MBA, MSc. But once you come close, what is being given is the discipline of Atma Vidya, which will help you get the ultimate. And so therefore, whether it's a university or the hospital, all these projects, it's almost like Swami started these projects in order to ensure this spiritual progress and growth of the different people who would be getting involved into it.
In fact, even as you're saying that, if Swami had said this university is going to offer Atma Vidya, who would have come? That's what the mission statement says, and that's what when we were discussing, we said, thank God we didn't read the mission statement. We only read the prospectus, which said that there is a BSc degree and MSc degree on offering. Had we read the mission statement, which we conveniently forgot to read, there Swami clearly says that the purpose of this university is to grant you or enable you to march towards self-realization. But, that's what as Swami would say, that even many people come attracted to Swami himself. Not all are attracted only to the profession, not all are attracted only to the, paycheck on offer. But many get attracted to Swami himself, and that is, so the different levels of people getting attracted and coming near Swami, but what Swami gives is, Swami always says that, I give you what you want till the point comes when you are here to, when you are ready to receive what I've come to give. And all of these doctors and patients, many, many patients, we'll probably look at few stories in between as we go. But starting with doctors, we were speaking about one of the doctors in the last week, Dr. Ram Bala, one of those doctors who had come from US for about 3 or 4 weeks to set up the labs in the few weeks before the inauguration of the hospital. He was telling that the way he came to be involved with the project, he had of course been Swami's devotee, he had come for many years for Swami's darshan and all that, but he had settled in the US, right? And there was one professor in his medical college who was the person who had brought him to Swami. So one day he got a call from that professor and he said, I'm getting an opportunity to be involved in this hospital project which Swami is going to inaugurate, and I want you to come and be a part of it. So he said, you take 3 or 4 weeks off and you come and assist me, right? So he immediately, he had a lot of love for Swami, but he had more respect and reverence for his professor, to whom he could not say no. So he took him off and he came. And he was saying the first meeting that Swami came and met these doctors, the professor and him and all the others, Swami looked at him and said, you will lead the, labs. You will take care of the thing and let your professor assist you. So he started doing that, and in that interview, I don't know whether it was in that interview or one of the first interactions which he had after coming for the sake of the project, Swami looks at him and, what he realized was, after he came to Parthi, he started feeling a certain sense of palpitation and breathlessness. And being a doctor, he realized that, he was going through a heart condition, and which could lead to a heart attack. And he was wondering, how am I going to assist my professor with this kind of health? I can't even climb stairs and walk a short distance if this is going to continue. And in that first interview, Swami looks at him and Swami tells him, what is your qualification or something? And he says, Swami, I'm a doctor. And then Swami says, you're a doctor, but you're also a patient.
Hmm.
Okay, and he was surprised because he had not told this to anybody. And then Swami materializes a locket and gives it to him, and Swami makes him pass it around the room, and everybody sees. And then Swami materializes a chain and puts it around his neck. And he said, in the span of that interview session, which was about 30 minutes, his heart condition was completely cured. And imagine the paradox of it. Here is Swami who is spending 100 crores, and we saw the amount of sleepless nights he gave to doctors like Safaya and Dr. Venugopal and all of them in the course of building this hospital. Spending enormous amounts of money to build a hospital which is going to cure the same kind of cases which this doctor himself was suffering from. And Swami was curing that case in a span of half an hour in an interview session. And this doctor was wondering, why should Swami build a hospital at all? It can only mean that it is for the purpose of drawing people to him and giving them an opportunity to live in his presence, to observe Swami and to go closer to Swami.
You mentioned Dr. Safaya. If we see Dr. Safaya's account of how he came to Swami, it's amazing. He apparently got to know Swami in the 1970s itself.
Mm-hmm.
In spite of knowing Swami from that early, he could not have his first darshan till 1984. And when he had his first darshan, it was amazing because in that visit, Swami called him for an interview. And in the interview, Dr. Safaya, who is already a devotee, wanted to offer himself to Swami. He said, Swami, there is a general hospital that is working here. I would like to go whenever possible there and, contribute in whatever way I can. And when he made this offer, from a worldly sense, when we look at it, if somebody who is a big doctor who comes and makes an offer like this, anybody would jump at it. Mm-hmm. But Swami calmly told him, no, your time has not yet come. This is what Swami told him. And Swami said, I will require you for another hospital. And I will call you then. You will have to work with a team of people. That is what Swami said and sent him out. And as Dr. Safaya narrates, he could not make head or tail out of what Swami meant. Because at that time, the only hospital that was there was the general hospital in Parthi. And what Swami meant by him heading a team and him, he will be called when another hospital is there. Or he just could not understand anything in 1984 and he just forgot it. At that point in time, he says in 1991, he got a call and he was told that Swami is wanting you to come to Vrindavan. So he implicitly obeyed and he landed up at Swami's ashram in Whitefield. He was called for an interview, and in the interview room, he was introduced to a committee that had been named as the International Committee for the Super Speciality Hospital. That was the name of the committee. And Swami introduced him as the chairperson for that committee. He was saying this was amazing and I was totally not expecting this. And when this happened, that is when my mind flashed back to that day in 1984 when Swami had said that when the time comes, I will call you and you will not be just there as a doctor, you will have to head a team. And mm-hmm. that is how Dr. Safaya was pulled into this. That is how Swami ensured that this super speciality hospital that he's creating is also an instrument through which this devotee, Dr. Safaya, would get an opportunity to offer his life to his Lord.
It reminds me, the same doctor was narrating when we interviewed him, Dr. Ambala, in his interview, when Swami had given him the appointment for those 3 weeks to be setting up the lab. This is in 1991, right? Post the summer of 1991.
Mm-hmm.
So in the interview room, Swami asked Dr. Safaya and Dr. Venugopal who are the new appointees. So they pointed to him and said, Swami, he's going to be heading the labs. So Swami asked, which hospital? Okay. He said, Swami, our hospital which is coming up. And Swami asked, the hospital in Parthi or the hospital in Vrindavan?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So in that time, the only hospital in Vrindavan was the Whitefield
Hospital.
General Hospital, right? So they said, Swami, we need labs in charge only in this hospital. We don't need it there. Then Swami went on to say, see, in Parthi, we have two hospitals. One is the small hospital and the one which is coming is the big hospital. But in Whitefield, the hospital is going to be much bigger. And Swami said, big, small, big and bigger hospital in Whitefield.
Hmm.
And he said this was in 1991, exactly 10 years before Swami built the hospital in Whitefield. So I think every planning was going much, much ahead of the way we can comprehend it. But now when you listen to all of this and sit back, you know, where was that tension which they felt in the day before the inauguration? You know, and it really, you know, you don't feel silly about going through that, but it makes you look back at life with a thrill and with an excitement that you missed when you were in that time, I think.
We'll now take a little break, and after the break, continue some more amazing stories, experiences and incidents connected with this hospital. And I think, Prem, last week we started off on the guiding philosophy for the hospital and explored in some depth the first one, which is universal healthcare, and the second one, which is decommercialized healthcare.
Right.
The two other principles in this guiding philosophy also we will be covering. But all this after this little break, dear listeners, don't go anywhere. On the other side of the break, we will continue with this.
I'm दुर्गति नाशिनी.
Welcome back, dear listeners. We're talking about the super specialty hospital, and you know, even as we were narrating those incidents of how Swami brought doctors to Swami, and the fact that Swami never needed the hospital. Once Swami used to always say that for those who have trust in me, those who have faith in me, I'm always there. Those who have faith in medicine, the hospital is there. And there are many devotees whom Swami would say that, why did you go to the hospital? I was listening to a talk by one of the alumnus the other day. There was a person, one of the staff members who went to the hospital, and Swami came in the evening and blasted him, why did you go to the hospital? So he said, Swami, I was not feeling well. Swami said, why didn't you come to me first? Why did you go to the hospital first? And, this is about patients running to the to Swami for cure. And Dr. Iyer, who was one of the senior most doctors, he was narrating how even as doctors they would run to Swami. And he was narrating about how once one of the doctors in the hospital was admitted with a heart condition. Right? They found that he had a block in the heart. And one of the usual treatments which they give is they give blood thinners so that the clot kind of dissolves by itself. And, you know, the flow of blood resumes. But his problem was, they also realized that he was very anemic, more than usual. And it was surprising because being a doctor, he did not recognize this in himself. And they did all these various tests, and they realized that he was having some kind of an internal hemorrhage somewhere. And now the problem is, if they give him blood thinning medicines, the hemorrhage will increase, which will increase his anemic nature of the condition, and they can't do any other treatment after that. So if to stop the hemorrhage, if they give him medicines which will lead to a clot, that will make the condition of the blood clot in the heart more serious. So it was a clear situation of where, you know, the doctors couldn't decide which was more critical, which had to be treated first. So one of the evenings he came and he informed Swami about it, and Swami told him, okay, I'll come and see the patient the next day. Okay, then Swami comes, all the doctors were waiting outside, Swami goes inside, and Swami gives him some vibhuti, and Swami comes out and calls the doctors, okay, any one of the two you choose and you do. I've taken care of his health, right? So he said, you know, that was the confidence that Swami gave, and that was what Swami could do. He said, you know, you choose whether you want to give blood thinners or you want to give blood thickeners, because anyway I've given him vibhuti and his health is taken care of. Now you do your duty. And that is precisely what the hospital was meant for, you know. Swami would say that I'm giving you an opportunity to come and find fulfillment in your life. And this is just a means for that. But I don't need doctors, I don't need medicines to cure people who have faith in me.
See, this has been the experience of anybody who has got associated with the hospital, and as a matter of fact, has got associated with anything related to Swami, working in any way for Swami. You realize this. You realize that it's a great opportunity that is being bestowed on you, because Swami actually doesn't need us to do that, to do it. But it is His love and grace that we get the opportunity to do it. You know, reading the experience of Mr. Rajiv Mahajan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was one of the people who was involved in getting different things that were necessary for the hospital. And he writes how, you know, he was carrying in the aircraft some of the lights that were necessary to go into the operation theater.
Okay.
And this was, I think, November 18th or something, and they needed 3 days for them to fit these theater lights. And suddenly, you know, he says that as the flight neared Bangalore from Delhi, there was an announcement which said that the climate conditions, the weather conditions in Bangalore are very bad, and visibility is poor, and therefore the aircraft won't be landing in Bangalore. Instead, it will be landing in Madras, today what we call Chennai.
Right.
And hearing this, his heart sank, because he was sure now that it would be a little more time before these lights could actually reach Puttaparthi. It would be delayed by at least 1 day, and even that 1 day's delay would severely affect the promise that Bhagwan had made, you know, that on 22nd there will be operations done. So the plan was that all the passengers will alight at Chennai, at Madras, and then some arrangements would be made for their food and staying by the airline, and then they had to make their own kind of arrangements to go to Bangalore, or they would try to take a flight out of Madras to Bangalore the next day. So with great disappointment in his heart, he got down, he says, and as he went to the conveyor belt to receive the luggage, he closed his eyes and sincerely prayed to Swami. He said, "Swami, I have done the best what I can, but that is not enough, Swami, because now the lights are stuck up in Madras, so far away from Puttaparthi. I don't know what to do." He says, even as he completed the prayer, within 2 minutes, the announcement came over the PA system that as a stroke of good fortune, the weather conditions in Bangalore have cleared and the flight will be taking off to Bangalore in another 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And he says that was the grace that he experienced, and he landed up on 18th with the lights, everything. He says he didn't stop there because there were so many supplies that were necessary, you know. And all these supplies had been procured and packed into 2 trucks that had been dispatched from Delhi on the 10th of November.
Mm-hmm.
And they had assured him that the trucks would reach Puttaparthi by the 16th of November. Now, even as he was thrilled with the lights arriving, he got to know that the trucks had not yet arrived on the 18th of November. And again, he was in a state of tension because each day makes it tougher to fulfill the deadline. 19th of November, no trucks. 20th of November, no trucks. And at that time, you know, there was no cell phone, there was no mobile technology, and there were only about 4 or 5 landlines in Puttaparthi, in Prashanthi Nilayam. And he ran to that landline and called up the trucking company, and the trucking company said that they also not received any reports and it should be on its way and it should have been delivered by now. There is no way to contact the trucker, you know. We take so many things for granted because we have mobile telephony these days. Imagine, no internet, no mobile. You have no way of knowing what has happened to the trucks. This went on 20th, and he's saying on 21st morning,
mm-hmm,
he was in the hospital and there was no truck. So he's saying, fully dejected, again he was walking. He was thinking, now what, Swami? I mean, again I have, you know, it's like the lights also, you saved, you were the one who got it, and again here also now I don't know what, it is not happening. He says he decided to go for darshan. And as he set out for darshan, suddenly a car stops by him. And to his great amazement, it is Swami's car.
Mm-hmm.
And Swami is there, and Swami lowers down the window and gives him 2 chocolates. And Swami says, everything is going on fine. And you know, Swami says, I am very happy with all that you have done. And in his own mind, you know, he's just thinking, Swami, you don't know what, this truck has not come. Without the truck, without those supplies, the operations can't proceed. And but he just did not express anything. He received those chocolates with gratitude. Swami smiled, raised the glass and then left. And as Swami left, Mr. Mahajan sir, you know, he felt, why should I now go to Mandir? I've already had darshan. Let me go back and see what can be done. He says, as he reached the hospital, he was met by a beaming Dr. Venugopal and Safaya. And they came and told him, you know what, 5 minutes back the trucks arrived.
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying, this is absolutely Swami's grace. You know, Swami, it is too coincidental. It's almost like when Swami has given him the chocolates and said, everything is going on perfectly, you don't worry, exactly the trucks have arrived. So, yes, whether it's an administrator, whether it's a technician, whether it's a doctor, whether it's a patient, it's not that Swami has any need for any of us. It's just that we get the opportunity to experience divinity and redeem our own lives through the process. And that is the reason why I feel all of us get this opportunity to be part of Swami's activities.
I recall a story of another doctor. I don't recall his name now. It happened to be one of our seniors in college.
Hmm.
When he was driving down from the Bangalore airport, he happened to see this doctor also, you know, in the airport, and they happened to drive together. So he was telling his story of how he joined Swami's hospital. Apparently, he was a devotee of Shirdi Baba and he used to make an annual visit to Shirdi and without fail. And slowly he came to hear about Swami, and then he started coming here, and he would sit in the devotees' line and just come, quietly sit there, have darshan and go. So one day, he heard about Swami's hospital and he wrote a letter to Swami saying that, Swami, it would be wonderful if I can have an opportunity to serve you, right? And this was in one of the trips, it was forgotten after that. And one day when he was sitting there, after Swami's darshan, And he found that one of the doctors, the senior doctors of the hospital, walking up to him, walking up to the block where he was sitting, and telling the Sevadal something. And apparently Swami had told in the interview room that he wanted a urologist. He's sitting there in such and such a row. He's sitting there. He's been wanting to serve here. Go and call him. We'll take him for the hospital.
Wow.
Right. So you saying, I mean, literally every prayer was accepted, and you know, it just had to, I mean, had to come to fruition over a period of time. And Swami was like somebody who was, you know, right on top of the things. He knew exactly what was happening when and how things were falling. And there were many, many stories, not just in the inauguration, but throughout the hospital. And each doctor had a story of their own for their growth, right?
You know, the other day, in fact, when we were speaking with one of the chief doctors here, Dr. Neelam Desai, I think she is a veteran today with more than 10 to 15,000 surgeries under her belt, if we can say so, a veteran cardiologist. And when we heard her story, you know, it's so amazing, it's so wonderful. We get to know so many facets. Most importantly, we realize how all this is just an opportunity that the Lord creates for us. Dear listeners, we will now listen to a narration by Dr. Neelam Desai, wherein she recounts her journey from day one. You know, she joined the hospital in 1993, of course, not day one of the hospital, but her journey from day one. And through her journey, we also realize the journey that the hospital has undergone. And through her journey, we realize that this is the journey of an individual soul towards the Paramatma.
When I joined this place in the year 1993, the AIMS team, which had started the department, had left. There was only Dr. Anil Bhan. So Dr. Anil Bhan and myself. And I was absolutely raw after finishing cardiac surgery with hardly any experiences of doing practical experience of performing a cardiac operation. I would have done hardly 4 or 5 cases in my entire tenure of a student's post. Whereas, I mean, if you ask me, now we do 4 to 5 cases in a day. But when I was a student, I would have done hardly. So you can imagine how much experience I needed to become what I have become today. Very soon, in a month's time, Dr. Bhan also left. And I was left all alone in the department with me and one more assistant, junior assistant, MBBS assistant. I was very afraid, because I didn't know that I could do closed heart surgeries, but when it came to doing open heart surgeries, I was not very confident. Can you believe it, when in the darshan line, Bhagawan comes and he tells me, start doing closed heart surgeries. He emphasizes on the word closed heart surgeries. So slowly I start doing 3 to 4 closed heart cases for the next 2-3 months. That's my list, OT list, where I'm doing 3 to 4 closed heart surgeries. Mind you, now this closed heart surgeries, if some complication develops, they have to be converted to open heart surgeries, and I'm not very confident. But in this 2 to 3 months time, with Bhagawan daily asking me and blessing me, I had not developed a single complication in any of this case. And by this had happened in the month of May. By the middle of August, I was very confident to start doing open heart surgeries. Bhagawan that time was in Vrindavan. So I go to Vrindavan and I seek Bhagawan's permission. And can you imagine, even before I can ask him the question, he starts walking towards me as he spots me in the darshan line, and he says, Neelam, start doing open heart surgeries. So I feel my every step in my career was kind of getting guided by Bhagawan. Then I come back and I start doing open heart surgeries. I start taking simple cases. And then one more consultant joins. And we start doing 4 to 5 cases a day. My list is doing 2 closed cases and 1 open heart on one theater. The other theater, he's doing some complicated cases. This goes on for another year. After a year and a half or so, this person also leaves. So then comes again Dr. Venugopal, and he tells me, start doing bypass surgeries. So I tell him, sir, bypass surgeries, I need some more experience. So then Bhagawan sends me to All India Institute of medical sciences for just observing this bypass surgeries. I spend a month there. Bhagawan sends a word again. Tell her to work with Dr. Iyer and do pediatric cardiac surgery also. So I spend a month there. Again, mind you, I am just observing. I am not doing any practical surgeries in those institute, in that institute. So when I come back, I tell Bhagawan, Bhagawan, I have just seen it. So he said, don't worry, my child, for you seeing is enough. And I understood the word, meaning of that word, that I am just an instrument who is going to be doing all this. The actual surgery is going to be performed by Bhagawan. And from there, the journey of my growth takes off. And slowly and surely, I start doing each and every kind of case. And over a period of time, Bhagawan instills so much of confidence in me that I can practically do any kind of surgery today. This journey is possible and only possible by the guiding and the loving hand of Bhagawan, who held my hand and took me along this journey.
And that was Neelam Desai sharing her experience. And, you know, many of these doctors whom we speak to would say this, that the kind of growth a doctor can professionally have in this setup is enormous. Because one thing is, you know, the kind of confidence which comes out of experiences such as this, that when you know that, you know, all that you have to do is do your best and believe that, you know, you're not the doer. And that removes so much of tension from your head. And Neelam Desai herself, you know, when we had spoken to her another time, those few years that she had worked outside before becoming a doctor here, she would say that the enormous amount of pressure that would be on a doctor when the doctor has to consider that patient's affordability when suggesting a procedure for that person. You know, when a patient is sitting next to you, this added idea of, you know, whether the person will be able to afford a surgery like this, what are the other cheaper options which are available. Okay, this option will give them a time of 3 years, they can come back after this. You know, you don't have that pressure on you when you're sitting in Swami's hospital. She was saying that there are cases which cost as much as 3 or 4 times an open heart surgery, complicated cases, which would need 3 or 4 times the amount of blood than a regular heart surgery would need. And all of those things would be done only purely based on whether the patient needs it or not, whether the patient will be able to survive that or not, and not based on whether the patient will be able to afford it or not. And that itself is such a relief for a doctor. And she was saying that professionally it's a gain for a doctor who is working in this setup. And, you know, that is again something which we, when we listen about the hospital, probably we take it for granted.
Dr. Iyer, the other person in cardiology, you know, he says that he primarily came here to fulfill his cardiology dream. It's not that I want to get God or anything like that. But he's so grateful to Swami for this, and he says that forget the divine aspect and God and all that. Even as a professional cardiologist, the kind of fulfillment that I get here is immense. You know, our hospital is possibly one among the very few in the world where you have pediatric cardiology and geriatric cardiology side by side happening, you know. Otherwise, every hospital specializes. There are hospitals that specialize only in treating the cardiological ailments of infants and newborns. Some others in cardiological ailments of children. There are some others that treat only old age people. You know, this kind of specialization happens, but here it's not like that because it is need-based. And therefore, you know, one of the other doctors was saying that any visitor to the hospital with the medical background, of course, like the NABH team that recently visited, they are in for a pleasant shock because in the ICUs, they will see that there is a 90-year-old person, there is a 50-year-old person, at the same time there is a 5-month-old baby. You know, it's shocking because no other hospital takes it up like that. But this hospital has taken it up and has also been extremely successful with very, very little morbidity or mortality rate. That's another amazing miracle.
And very true. And of course, we are talking only more about the cardiology department, but almost every department has this story. We've spoken to doctors from urology and the orthopedics. The kind of difference that it has made, you know, we're talking about what it has done to doctors. Probably one case in point would be what happens to the patients who go through this. And it's a perfect example. The example which I want to give here is that this institution is merely a tool for Swami to bring those whom he has chosen to himself. You know, there might be thousands, there have been lakhs of patients who have come in and gone. But each one of those patients have been given an opportunity to be inspired by what they saw. Whether they carried the inspiration or not, I think was up to each one of them. Remember, we've had a story, I think, the year which we had it was sometime in 2009, we had this story on the website. Very, very profound story of a doctor who needed a cardiac surgery, right? This doctor was from Orissa and his name was Dr. Rajinder Kar. Kar or Kar, I don't know how do you pronounce that. So he was apparently a doctor himself and he had needed the surgery, and this was a very, very complicated case. When he went to the doctors in his town, and when he found out, this was a case which in that time, in 2009, 7 years ago, would have cost him something like 10 to 12 lakhs. Right? It was much more than the regular open heart surgeries which are done. And there was no way he could afford it, because though he was himself a doctor, he was a doctor who used to do a lot of free treatment to the people who would come to him, because as we know, Orissa is one of the poorer states in India.
Economically.
Right, economically. And he would do a lot of free treatment to patients who would come to him. But he had no other way. He had a very young family and he couldn't afford to, let the disease get the better of him. So he somehow thought of taking a loan and he was about to go and get admitted in Delhi in AIIMS. Right?
All India Institute of Medical Sciences.
All India Institute of Medical Sciences. And the day before he was supposed to leave for Delhi, he has a dream, right? And in the dream, Swami tells him that you have treated so many of my patients free, won't I take care of you? Right? He's not even a devotee of Swami, mind you. It's not like he's been coming for Swami's darshan or something like that. He just has this dream of Swami appearing there and Swami's telling, you have taken care of all my patients, will I not take care of you? Swami says, cancel your ticket, don't go to Delhi, come to Puttaparthi, I will take care of you. And that's the story of how he happened to come to Parthi. He was admitted, he was treated on, and we also had a conversation with him in Radio Sai. And devotees or listeners who are interested in reading it can go and read it up. The title of that article is God Helps Those Who Helps Others, and perfectly titled so. And that is why this was like any other instrument of Swami. Like we've spoken of many, many devotees who got attracted to Swami through bhajans, devotees who got attracted to Swami through listening to Swami's discourses, devotees who got attracted to Swami through his institutions like that. The hospital too was one instrument where Swami was only pulling those devotees who were fortunate to know him and have him in their lives.
We were speaking last week about the guiding philosophy of the hospital, and we spoke of universal healthcare and decommercialized healthcare. These two pillars by themselves have led to so many experiences and incidents which are amazing. I remember one over here. There was this lady in the ashram from Switzerland, and she developed some breathing trouble and she was taken to the hospital, and it was discovered that she needed immediate cardiac surgery that was done for her. And once all that happened, she recuperated here in India. After she recovered, she went back to Switzerland. And then she went to her insurance company, because you are supposed to inform your insurance company of any change in your health for your medical insurance. When she went and told about this cardiac surgery, they asked her to submit the bills of the whole surgery. Because one thing is they'll reimburse, and accordingly it'll affect her future premiums, both the things. And they were shocked when she said that, no, I didn't pay a pie. They said, how is this possible? I mean, no way. Nowhere in the world can you do an operation like this totally free. She said, no, apparently it is done. It is done not in one place but two places, because I think at that time even the Bangalore super speciality had come. Our hospital in Puttaparthi actually received a questioning message from this insurance company seeking details of this procedure, and all the details were given except for the finance, because they said, because it's a fact that it's done totally free of cost. So it led to this insurance company getting stumped, and for them it was a revealing experience. So in this manner, it's not just the direct beneficiaries who are being touched by the hospital, it has its own unique way of touching many others indirectly also. And I feel that is where the other two pillars of this guiding philosophy come into play. The other two pillars being human values in healthcare, and then final one, spiritualization of healthcare. These are the two pillars that add strength, that add vibrance, that add the kind of kick, if I can use that colloquial word, to the two pillars of universal healthcare and decommercialized healthcare.
Now, in one sentence, Swami defines this, and Dr. Narasimhan of the Mobile Hospital puts it, you know, Swami had told him once, he said, if you treat your patients with love, it is Medicare. If you don't treat them with love, it is medicine.
Medicine.
You know, typically, beautifully, Swami has put it. And, you know, that is the whole thing about the hospital. And as you were saying, that everybody who came to observe it were first drawn by the thing being free, the decommercialization aspect. But after coming here, they realized that, you know, the decommercialization will mean nothing if that third pillar, which we spoke about, you know, about human values in healthcare, and the fourth pillar of spiritualization in healthcare come into picture. And we, even as you're talking about that, Swiss lady is reminded of another student who is narrating this incident to us of, you know, he was from Kerala, and one day he got a call from somebody in Kerala, and apparently his schoolmate who had studied with him before he joined Swami's university had had an accident and he had gone into a coma. And for some reason, his parents thought of this boy. They thought that you are with Swami, why didn't you write a letter to Swami and pray for him? Right? That was the first prayer that they had. And he had actually lost contact with him for 4 years. And for some reason, that parents thought that this boy is there in Swami's presence and we'll pray to him, pray to Swami through him. Right? And that boy was saying that it was in the morning of Shivratri. So there was no way he thought that he's going to be able to give Swami that letter where he has written about this friend's ailment and all that. But nevertheless, he was sitting and, you know, when things have to happen, everything falls in place. He ended up sitting in the first row. He was sitting right in front of Swami's chair and he was holding this letter, right? And during the bhajan, Swami called him. So he went up to Swami with this letter in his hand, and even as Swami was taking the letter from his hand, Swami said, your friend is fine. He woke up. So this boy, you know, he had so many thoughts running in his head, whether Swami will call him or, you know, what do you say when Swami calls you, that he didn't register why Swami was saying this. Swami was saying that your friend is fine. So he said, Swami, I didn't understand. And Swami repeated a couple of times, Swami said, your friend is fine. And he said, no, Swami, I don't understand what you're telling about. And Swami got a little upset and, you know, Swami opened that letter which he had and went straight to the line where he had written that, Swami, my friend is in coma. And Swami pointed to that line and said, this fellow, he just woke up right now. And then it struck him, oh God, you know, the prayer is answered even before it can be offered. And he says that when he goes back and he calls up those people, the mother of that boy was in tears, because right at that moment when Swami had taken that letter from him, the boy had just woken up from his coma. So to cut the story short, when he was giving that letter to Swami, this boy had also requested Swami that that boy can be brought to our hospital for treatment. And Swami immediately said, yes, yes, you tell those people to bring him here. And those doctors were not ready to let him go. Imagine that. And when they were told that there is a free hospital here, Swami's hospital, they said, that's impossible. There cannot be a hospital which can give free treatment like this. And this boy finally had to call up the doctors there and convince him that there is a hospital. I'm living in Puttaparthi, you know, a couple of kilometers away from the hospital. And he said a team of 14 doctors from that hospital came accompanying this boy in his ambulance only to see the hospital, because they wouldn't believe that there can be a hospital which offers such treatment free. And should we say that they all went back learning a lesson or two about Medicare?
Definitely. Because in his advice to doctors, you know, Swami says about what is important in Medicare. Quoting Swami, doctors should care for their patients as they would for their kith and kin. Love is the basis for value-based living. A doctor can infuse courage in patients by the love that he or she shows towards the patients. if doctors carry out their duties in a spirit of love and sacrifice, their efforts are certain to be crowned with success. You know, this atmosphere of love and compassion, if you go to the hospital today, you can feel it pervading the entire environment over there. And I'm sure that along with the medicine, if not more than the medicine, it is this love and compassion that encourages and aids the patient's recovery. Many patients, even as they enter the central dome of the hospital, already start feeling so much better because that is the kind of atmosphere that pervades over there. The doctors, the caregivers, the hundreds of the Sevadal volunteers who are working there are inspired by this ideal, you know. They feel that by serving these patients, by serving man, I'll be serving my Swami. And that is the reason for their love that comes over onto everyone. And, you know, this kind of uplifting experience, therefore, it's not just for the patients, but the doctors, the technicians, everyone. We have narrated, you narrated of a few patients, we have narrated of a few doctors, we have narrated of a doctor who was a patient. Now, here's the story of one of the technicians. He was an alumnus of our university, Ravi Mariwala, and he was trained to handle the heart-lung machine. And he says that he was involved in one of these procedures on a middle-aged man who was very frail. He needed the heart-lung machine, so there would be a bypass. And after the operation was done, it's now the time for the heart to take back the job of beating and pumping blood to the lungs. The transfer from the heart-lung machine to the heart was just not happening. They made multiple attempts and it was just not happening. You know, at this point, one more thing that Dr. Neelam Desai, madam, she was saying that in many hospitals when such things happen, they try for about 3-4 hours and after that, they just give it up. They just say it's done.
Not because 3-4 hours, half an hour to 1 hour is what she had told us once. Thing.
Yes, half an hour to 1 hour, and after that, if it doesn't, they just say that, yeah, he's dead. The patient is dead. That's it. Because they have no time to waste. Their operation theaters, they have to get in more so that they can get in more money. You know, it's all so linked like that. Here, for half a day, they kept trying. And he says, they have not even come for darshan, nothing, because they are all going on trying to resuscitate this patient, revive this patient and make sure that his heart takes over. But every time they are trying to disconnect the heart-lung machine, the BP is falling, the heart rate is falling and the heart is just collapsing. In this kind of scenario, when they were facing like an absolute meltdown, Ravi Mariwala says that he walked out to take a little break, walked out of the operation theater, and it suddenly struck him that one recourse they have not taken to, which is praying. So he said he stood there and intensely prayed to Swami. He said, Swami, only you can do it. You know, only you are the person who heals. The doctor is just but the instrument. With all his heart, all his love, all his selflessness, you know, he prayed that moment. And he says that, you know, he was feeling dejected and depressed because that patient was not seeming to be able to rise. But just the act of praying made him feel so much better. Feeling refreshed, rejuvenated and renewed, he walked into the operation theater again. And he says when he walked, he was pleasantly shocked because the heart-lung machine had been disconnected. He asked some people around what happened. They said, you know, 5 minutes ago, all of a sudden, the heart took over and everything seems normal. The blood pressure normalized, the heart rate also improved. Now the heart has taken over, we managed to disconnect the heart-lung machine. He had wet eyes, you know, he closed his eyes, he was sure, he knew that the doer is only God. You know, this kind of experience that Arjuna had on the battle of Kurukshetra, where you realize that I am not the doer, it is the Lord that is the doer. In each and everyone's Kurukshetra, Kuru means our activity, Kshetra is field. In each and every one of our field of activity, whether we are jockeys on Radio Sai, whether we are jockeys at Radio Sai, whether we are doctors in the hospital, we realize this, that we are not the doer, it is Swami who is the doer. And he had this epiphany, he was so thrilled. The story doesn't end there. He says that Sunday when he came for darshan, Swami came straight to him and gave him a vibhuti packet. And then Swami told him, this packet is for the prayer you made for that patient. And he says, I had not told anybody about this. And when Swami said that, it only reinforces that when you serve man, you are actually serving God. When you pray for another man, when you are selfless, it touches the Lord's heart. Swami had possibly not given him vibhuti on a day when he had done an operation successfully, when he was part of a successful operation. But on the day when he prayed, Swami came and appreciated him. So, you know, this is definitely a temple of healing. I say we call it a temple of healing because a lot of prayers happen here. It teaches man to pray.
When you talk of these two pillars, as we were telling, the human values in Medicare and spiritualization of healthcare, I think they are inseparable in many ways, because Swami would often say that they can't, you know, you can't have a society which is moral or value-based without it being attached to spirituality. And, you know, here you have, when we spoke about doctors and patients and all of them, the role that the sevadal play. You know, there's this, as you're saying, that it's not anything to benefit professionally. They don't come here to grow in their profession or any way. It is purely out of their expression of love for Swami. They see it as their spiritual journey, right? And they are the ones who create this environment where people come and learn lessons and values. This is the 25th year. During the 20th year, the people in the hospital tracked down the first patient to be operated. In the hospital, you know, the first 14-year-old boy was operated on the inauguration day, and he still lives in Anantapur with his family. I think his name is Vijay Bhaskar. Okay, he is a librarian in one of the local universities there, and he was telling very, very gratefully that even today is 25 years later, and when we spoke to him 20 years later, he said, after 20 years, I can't afford the same amount which would have costed me then for that surgery. And that's what Swami has given. And he was narrating a few incidents. Because he was the first patient, he could not be admitted into the super specialty hospital. He was admitted into the general hospital and then shifted to the super hospital after it was ready, as we spoke of all the drama that, you know, went into the first few cases which were operated upon. So he was telling that when he was admitted and he was staying in the hospital, next to his bed there was an old man was completely bedridden. He could not do anything on his own. He could not eat, he also needed a bedpan for all his other needs. And he was saying that throughout the day, he saw one sevadal man caring for that old man. And he said, as a 14-year-old boy, when I saw that, here is a sevadal who is not being paid for what he is doing, but doing with utter sincerity what he was doing, and there was not even a sense of disgust or anything in him with whatever he was doing for that old man. And he said that really made a very deep impact in me. Because where else will you find, you know, even if you go to a doctor and if you go to a hospital and pay through your nose, you will not find this care. So this care is only based upon the love that this person is having for somebody else, not for the old man. Right? And he was saying that impact. And every day after he was admitted, the dietitian would come and ask him, because he was a young child, what do you like to eat? And she would ask him and then go and prepare whatever she had to eat. And because he was a heart patient, they were giving him very bland food. So one day when this dietitian came and asked him, he said, I want tamarind chutney. Right? And this dietitian had no idea how to make it. So she went and asked one of the helpers in the hospital, how do you make tamarind and groundnut chutney? And there was no way you could grind some of those things. So she borrowed a pestle and mortar and she did it herself. And she made, and that night he had that chutney. So he was saying that, you know, there was, in multiple ways, it was not just that the free treatment which he was getting, but the extra mile that the people around him were taking to make him feel comfortable. And he was saying that at one point, after the surgery, when he was in super specialty hospital, he had lost completely the taste in his tongue. While eating food one day, he was about to vomit on himself because he was lying on his back. And that day, when he was doing that, the senior nurse who was nursing him, she came and put out his hand for him to vomit.
Cupped her hands.
Right, you know, and he said, I broke down when she did that. And he said, you know, I mean, my mother would do this at home. How do you expect a senior nurse to do this for you when you're in the hospital? And imagine when we spoke to him 20 years after it happened, he clearly narrated all these incidents. He said, because these are the images I took back from that hospital stay. It was not the pain. It was not the smell of a hospital. It was not the fear that a patient undergoes in the hospital. But it was these lessons. And that's why Swami said these are pillars of this hospital. Human values and the spiritualization of the hospital.
When we say spiritualization of healthcare, it makes us aim at a holistic treatment. You know, not just with the body, but also the mind and the soul. When this kind of holistic treatment happens, that is when it becomes spiritual. See, our hospital definitely offers comprehensive treatment, because there is preventive care, there is curative care, and there is also post-treatment care. We had discussed some of this last week. But apart from being comprehensive, it offers also holistic spiritual care, because it takes care of the body, mind and the spirit. And these kind of incidents that you narrate is something related to the spiritual domain. That's why, you know, Prem, I feel that we should get associated with this hospital in some way or the other. See, when there is a big festival, Brahmotsavam, in some temple, maybe in Tirupati or some place, we feel it's our family deity and go there, and you know, we either put some money in the hundi over there, or some way or the other, we want to be part of that celebration, because we feel that it is something that will redeem our life, it will benefit us in our body, our mind and the soul. This is exactly one such kind of a temple. I feel in some way or the other, we should want to be part of it, because it's like, if somebody asks me, why should I be part of it? I would just like to say, just be a part of it once and see. It's a something that has to be experienced. That is the reason why those volunteers who have volunteered once keep coming over and over again. And while the new ones are hesitant, because they don't know, the question that comes is, what will I get from this? Are you just experience the joy of selflessness once? So, and the first step towards that is stop asking what I'll get from this. Because that in itself is a selfish thought. Just come with an open heart and open mind and see what a surgery the hospital does. The hospital does that kind of surgeries not only to a physical open heart, but to anyone who has an open heart also in terms of an open mind. So, I feel it's not just that you donate money or you just, you know, see if you're a doctor, you can contribute. It's not like that. Each and every one, I feel once in a year, for a week, let me be like a sevadar. Let me learn so many things in life, because my mother has been a sevadal in the hospital for years. And what she says is amazing, because apart from the things that we spoke of the sevadal himself or herself undergoes a kind of transformation. Because it is only in serving mankind will we grow in our spiritual quest towards God. If we are not able to see God in man, we will not be able to see God anywhere else also, because this is the Vishwarupa of the Lord, as Swami has said. That is the Vishwarupa of the Lord we saw during the birthday, and that is the Vishwarupa of the Lord that we should strive to serve the way the hospital has done for the last 25 years.
You know, the number of stories of transformation which you've heard, you know, that is the sign of a spiritual place. If you go into a temple and if you don't come out transformed, then you've not treated it as a temple, or it's not a temple. The very fact that the number of people who come and get transformed, the many, many documentaries we've had, and the number of patients who've been spoken to, there was once a truck driver, you know, who came all the way from Bihar or somewhere, and he said, you know, I saw when I got this ailment, whatever was his problem, a heart problem, whatever it is, he said, I saw how relatives started leaving me. He said, I saw how I became isolated in my own family. Because everybody was fearing that I'll ask for some money for the treatment. And he said, in that condition I've come here and I've seen the kind of love that I get here. And he said, I can't give anything to Swami. You know, even if I live all my life, I can't give him back even the amount which the hospital would have spent on me. And, you know, he said this, probably the only thing I want to do now is, the only calling from my heart is, Swami, I have this bad habit of drinking and smoking. I will try to give it up for you. Right, you know, that is the transformation which happens. And we were talking about all the while we were talking about the hospital in Puttaparthi. Many, many people who came and worked during the construction of the Whitefield Hospital. There was one particular welder which we came to know about.
Mm-hmm.
Right, he came all the way again from Maharashtra or someone of the North Indian states. Apparently, he was a person who had been operated upon, or his son had been treated in the, you know, in Parthi Hospital. So when he came to know that Swami is building another hospital, he took off from his profession for a month so that he can come and offer his services as a welder in the hospital in Whitefield.
Beautiful.
He said, because this is the only way I can repay to Swami what Swami has given. And, you know, when you were saying that let's be part of this, I remember when the Whitefield Hospital was coming, you know, we heard of the story in the super specialty hospital in Patti when Swami sent the students for work there.
We were students in Vrindavan, both of us.
Yeah, yes. We were students in Vrindavan when the Bangalore Hospital was coming. And, you know, by the time the Bangalore Hospital came, the L&T company was quite equipped to deal with Swami's surprises, I think. Because they were not as, caught off guard when it came to the Whitefield Hospital. But even then, Swami gave an opportunity for students to go and serve there. And I think many of the students went to put some of the beds together. The construction work was done to assemble some of the cots which were there in the wards and all that. And Swami had this typical habit of when he's calling boys for work, Swami will tell the warden, call boys who are tall and strong. Right? And I remember that day when we were coming from Darshan, there was one of the teachers who was standing at the door, and he was picking out students who were tall and who looked hefty or who looked sturdy. Mm-hmm. And being puny that time, some of us were left out. And I remember the amount of disappointment which we felt. We felt that here is Swami building a hospital and he's not giving us an opportunity to be a part of that. Right? And having experienced that disappointment, I know what is the other side of that disappointment. The joy of being a part of a mission as grand as this. And that is a living opportunity. That was not only when the hospital was being constructed. That opportunity is there for all of us. And thousands of Sevadal come and be part of that celebration and grab that opportunity. Hundreds of doctors and medical professionals, you know, take part in that opportunity. I think that part is always open for all of us.
With that, dear listeners, the time in our studios is 1:57. It is time for us to close this segment Afternoon Satsang for today. We are grateful to Swami for this magnificent institution that celebrated its silver jubilee a couple of days before. We are grateful to Swami that we got to know Him, we got to know the hospital, we got to know Him through the work in the hospital, and we got to experience that in our own different ways. We pray to Swami that we forever love Him more and more with every passing moment, and we express that love for Him in our actions. Because I remember one wise man whom I had met once saying that what is the use of you saying you love Swami if you don't act in a manner that makes Swami happy? The more you love Him, the more your actions must be only those that Swami wants and Swami desires. So Swami, we pray to you that we act, let our thoughts, let our words, let our deeds be in alignment to what pleases you and makes you happy. With that, we bring this satsang to a close. We will end with a bhajan, on the other side of which will be the next segment, Love to Love by Brother Chandu Vijay.
Sundara Nama. बंध विमोचन जगदाश्रय भव बंध विमोचन
सुंदर नामा।